Welcome to NFL Live. Of course, we're starting with the Packers offseason, but for those who might be tired of hearing about Aaron Rodgers, never fear, have a beer. Look at Packers O-lineman, chugging expert as well. David Bakhtiari is showing off his skills. I don't know, guys. Never gets up. Woody, you think you can take him down in a chug-off?
We need a head-to-head because I know I can take that. That's too slow. I wish I had one right now, Laura. I wish
too slow?
Right now.
It was like 1 second, you guys. How's that too slow?
And he didn't spill anything. I mean, that's you say too slow. You can't spill.
Yeah, Broz, we'll put you against the dad and see who wins. Anyway, that's one way to start a show. Glad you're with us on this jam-packed hour of NFL Live. Coming later, someone says Dak Prescott is ahead of Matthew Stafford on their list of top QBs. We'll explain why Dak's situation is even better than Matt's. Plus, a glaring weakness that the Chiefs have to improve to get back to the Super Bowl. Mina Kimes, Damian Woody, and Dan Graziano here. We will not make anyone chug anything as far as I know, but you never know what can happen here. We're a couple minutes in now. We do have to talk about the real story of the Packers offseason, and that would be Aaron Rodgers. He was throwing footballs and playing some golf at the American Century Championship, and he was asked about his plans to return to the Packers after skipping mandatory minicamp. We're all whistling because, man, that football looks pretty. But here's what Aaron Rodgers had to say about coming back.
I'm going to enjoy the hell out of this week, and then I'm going to get back to working out and figure things out in a couple weeks.
D. Wood, he said a couple of weeks, all right? So when does it actually start to matter when he reports? Is it training camp day one?
Yeah, Laura, I think this is a situation where Aaron Rodgers is going to report day one or he's not going to report at all. You know, players play. And around this time of year, guys get the itch to play. You also got to remember, Aaron Rodgers wasn't involved in any of the offseason program, mandatory minicamp or anything like that. So if you don't report, you're missing valuable reps within training camp. And guys like Devontae Adams and company, they still need those reps with your quarterback. So the timeline kind of lines up with what Aaron Rodgers just said. So I think Aaron Rodgers reports and is off and running in Green Bay.
Yeah, but Damian, in my limited experience with professional football players, they don't love going to training camp, right? Especially the veterans. Like they might want to take a few days. And remember, during the last CBA negotiations, it was Aaron Rodgers who was pushing for a provision to be put in that you didn't have to report till August 1st at all in the offseason. That was what he was arguing for. So this isn't a guy that historically has been in a hurry to get back to Green Bay. I think he could probably get into training camp before reporting and still be ready in time for the season. I just think there's two options for him here. Either sit out games or come back and find a way to reconcile with the Packers and play for them this year. I don't think they're in a mode where they're going to trade him.
Yeah, those dates in July you just saw on your screen are the important dates. And also, not that Aaron Rodgers really cares about preseason games, but it is worth noting the Packers preseason opener August 14th against the Texans at Lambeau. So if the Packers made Rodgers available, Von Miller thinks his Broncos are one team who could make a deal for him. This is a quote. He says, if A-Rod's out there for us to get him, those are the two guys to have on the job. He's talking about his front office. John Elway, he's done a great job of working with big-time guys before. Peyton Manning, DeMarcus Ware, Aqib Talib, all those other guys, Von Miller says. So if there's a guy to be had, GP and John Elway are two to put on it, if it can be done. There's a lot of ifs in there, but either way, Mina, if he does, let's add another one. If he does go to Denver, are they a Super Bowl contender right away with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback?
No doubt. Absolutely. 100%. If this Denver team had Aaron Rodgers on their roster, they'd be one of the top three teams in the NFL, not just in the AFC. No question, because without Aaron Rodgers, this is an incredibly stacked roster. On offense, they have a really underrated group of skill players. Courtland Sutton's coming back. Jerry Jeudy, I expect to take a leap forward his sophomore season. Y'all know how much I love Noah Fant. And then on defense, we know this is a unit coached by Vic Fangio, who's a defensive genius. They have so much talent at every level, from Vaughn, who you just heard from, coming back opposite Bradley Chubb, to the linebackers, to a secondary that to me looks like one of the better groups in the league. This is such a good defense. And Laura, the thing that occurs to me hearing him talk about the front office, well, aside from Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock somewhere seeing that quote and feeling a little bit let down, is I think back to the draft, and I start to wonder, if I'm a Broncos fan and this team doesn't get Aaron Rodgers, what are we doing? Like, not drafting a quarterback, because you got everything else on this team. And while I love Patrick Surtain, there were quarterbacks on the board. I would be disappointed to waste such a good roster on a lost season in the middle of the pack.
You know, Mina, I think you actually, that the last part you actually touched on is really important. The fact that with this stacked roster that the Denver Broncos have, it seems like they almost push almost all their chips in on maybe this deal with Aaron Rodgers, where you had an opportunity to go out there and get a Justin Fields if you're the Denver Broncos. Insert Justin Fields into this lineup for the Denver Broncos. We might be talking about the Denver Broncos in a different light without even discussing Aaron Rodgers. So I think they dropped the ball as far as getting a rookie quarterback in there.
You know, you think back to draft night, it was right after Adam Schefter's first report on this situation, and the idea of Aaron Rodgers being traded to the Broncos felt a lot more realistic then than it does now that the Packers have seemed to make it clear that they don't want to trade him. So I guess it's possible they were thinking along those lines. I'd like to believe that it was more that they just didn't feel like Justin Fields or Mac Jones was the guy for them. Because if you're sitting there on draft night thinking, oh, this is no problem, we're going to trade for Aaron Rodgers, everything will be great, that's a really big if to hang your entire draft on.
You know, it's so interesting because you got to think, too, there could have been some trepidation with recent quarterbacks that the Broncos have drafted. Maybe that's in the back of their minds. We don't just jump for a guy right now. But either way, you end up going defense with a great defender, as Mina pointed out, in Patrick Surtain, and pass up a couple guys who, if they have success at this next level, they're going to be a lot of questions.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Back with you here on NFL Live. Check this out. Available exclusively on ESPN+. We surveyed more than 50 league executives, coaches, scouts, and players to help us stack up the top 10 players at 11 different positions. Let's look at the quarterback. These are how guys around the league are ranking these quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes tops the list, followed by Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. That's a no-brainer, right? Russell Wilson, Josh Allen rounding out the top five. Then it gets interesting. You see down there, new Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford checks in at number 6. Dak Prescott at 7th on this list. So, listen, it's July 12th or whatever day it is. I'm not sure. I think it's July 12th. So these are the things that we're doing, right? But Mina, let's try to be serious about it. Is Dak too low on this list in your mind?
I would flip him and Matthew Stafford, which it's pretty close, 6 and 7. But when you look at the 5 years since Dak's come into the NFL, he ranks 5th in QBR. Stafford's 14th. And if you don't like QBR, you can grab any stat: passer rating, yards per attempt, interception percentage, completion percentage, whatever. Dak is ahead of Stafford. Now you could say, well, Dak was in a better situation than Matt Stafford. Matt had inconsistent play calling, good skill players, inconsistent protection in Detroit. And you would be right. And I think the fact that he's going to Los Angeles, which is such a quarterback-friendly offense, is a huge part of why he jumped in the rankings, deservedly so. But Dak Prescott remains in one of, if not the best situations for a quarterback in the NFL. Like, it's not like they're switching situations. Dak still has a credible group of wide receivers, very good offensive line. So for me, I'm going to go with the younger guy who's been better lately, but I expect them both to have very good seasons.
Yeah, I would certainly put Dak ahead of Stafford as well. I think I'm trying to figure out why it didn't break down that way when, you're polling executives and other people league-wide. One thing that jumped to mind, and you hear this a lot, people really do cling to their pre-draft evaluations for a very long time. And Dak Prescott was a fourth-round pick. There were a lot of people that thought he wasn't going to be a starting NFL quarterback, and I'm sure some of them still feel like, oh, he's overrated. You know, maybe the situation has propped him up, et cetera. But I think the exercise was to project it forward, and I think there is a belief that out of Detroit and into L.A. with Sean McVay and the Rams, Matthew Stafford will play better than he ever has. We're all going to find that out together, but that certainly does seem to be the hope and the expectation for a lot of people around the league when it comes to Herbert. Stafford.
Yeah, you know, the reality is, either way, you've got Dak Prescott last season leading the league in passing before he ended up getting injured. All right, you see him right there with the numbers, by the way. That breaks it all down. Damian, give me someone who will be on this top five list next year. And if you were paying real close attention to your TV, you might have heard him give you a little hint there. Go ahead, D-Wood.
Yeah, listen, I'm going with Justin Herbert. I think Justin Herbert is going to be a superstar in this league. And I just point back to last year. You're talking about a QB that had no offseason. And just look at the circumstance as to which he started for the Los Angeles Chargers. Tyrod Taylor gets a botched injection. He gets inserted into the lineup right before game time. And all he did was ball the whole season. Got through for over 4,300 yards. 31 touchdowns and only 10 interceptions. And this Los Angeles Chargers team, they improved upon the area which I thought was a detriment to Justin Herbert, the offensive line. So I think in year two, with Brandon Staley as the head coach, I think Justin Herbert is just going to vault and just become a superstar in this league.
Yeah, Damian, you hit on it with the offensive line. And I would also point out, hopefully, for Los Angeles, they have better health on the other side of the ball with Derwin James hypothetically playing an entire season, which would keep Herbert from having to put the entire offense on his back. I just want to make one other point with this list. I would have Ryan Tannehill in the top 10 over Kyler Murray. I think he's been a little underrated and ignored despite how efficient he's been playing over the last couple of years in Tennessee. So that would be the other name I would look to. Otherwise, I think it's a pretty good list, but Tannehill belongs there too.
You know, that's interesting, especially adding another weapon like Julio Jones. But you wonder too what people would say about leaving Kyler Murray out of that top 10. Back to the point of the pre-draft evaluations.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tonight at 8 Eastern on ESPN, there at Coors Field, the 2021 T-Mobile Home Run Derby. Shohei Ohtani, the headliner, with Pete Alonso, Juan Soto also participating. Plenty of quarterbacks have a background in baseball, and our Tim Kirchin takes a look at two of the most recent QBs to be picked in the MLB draft, Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson.
Center fielder Kyler Murray was an excellent high school baseball player and played 2 years at the University of Oklahoma, hitting .296 in 2018.
With the ninth selection of the 2018 MLB draft, the Oakland Athletics select Kyler Murray.
The A's selected him in the first round of the 2018 draft, making Murray the only player ever to be selected in the first round of the NFL and Major League Baseball drafts.
It's a little surreal, obviously.
At the end of the day, I mean, I'm going to have to make a decision. Right now, that decision is go play baseball.
Murray was unpolished, but in him, the A's saw similarities to Ricky Henderson, given his combination of speed and power. Second baseman Russell Wilson played 2 years of baseball at North Carolina State. He was drafted in the fourth round by the Rockies in 2010. He hit .229 in 2 years of Class A ball.
You're a heck of a baseball player, aren't you?
Yes, sir. That was a good experience, but I knew that that's not what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So.
Oh, you gave it up?
Yeah. There's nothing like playing quarterback.
The Seattle Seahawks select Russell Wilson, quarterback, Wisconsin.
You know, there's no turning back when I made this decision. I was born a football player. I love this game. You know, I'm 100% in.
The Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray.
So when you see Wilson and Murray with their quick feet and strong arms, remember that you aren't just watching two of the best quarterbacks. You are watching the best second baseman and the best center fielder in the NFL.
We now have the great pleasure of welcoming Tim Kirkjian into the show. And listen, this is actually an NFL Live first. We're making history today having Timmy on the show. Thanks so much for doing this. This is really, really cool.
Right. Well, I've never been on the show because I'm 5'4" and 140 pounds. I'm too small to be on the show.
No. Well, I mean, the reality is, like, we are about the same size. So I'm on the show, which means you can be on the show. We'll leave that there and get to the task at hand here. You mentioned these baseball backgrounds. Let's talk about them. How do they translate in your mind to the NFL?
Well, to me, and I'm hopelessly biased on this, I think baseball players are the most well-rounded of all the professional athletes. That doesn't make them the best athlete. It means if you put a ball of any kind into the hands of a baseball player, they're going to look like they've played that sport before because of the skill required to play baseball. It is a skill sport more than it is an athletic sport. And that's why when you see football players try to throw a baseball or hit a baseball, basketball players try to do the same, a lot of times it doesn't look very good. But you put a football in a baseball player's hands, you put a basketball in his hands, he's going to look like he's done that before in most cases.
Hey, Timmy, hey, listen, man, I watch some of these guys out there in baseball, and they look like they have dad bods like I do. I've been out of the game for a decade, and I'm just not impressed with some of these guys' physiques out there. And you're saying they're the best athletes? Come on.
All right, Damian, you weigh three times what I weigh, and I'm still going to tell you that I think you're wrong because the skill required to play baseball is ridiculous. You don't have to look great. You have to have great hands and great eyes. And I did the celebrity softball game last night, and there were some football players that looked like they have never played baseball ever. And the reason is they never have. That's the point.
Hey, it's a difficult sport. We're not going to specifically call out any of those guys, but if you want to go look back at the roster, you can find out exactly who Timmy's talking about. Let's talk about tonight on ESPN, the Home Run Derby happening at 8 Eastern. Give us three guys in the NFL that you think could compete tonight in the Derby. If you had to pick some of them, who are the three that you're going with, Tim?
I would start with J.J. Watt. He's gigantic, even compared to me. And I've seen him swing a baseball bat, and he looks like he's done this before. And he's hit some balls out of the ballpark. It's very impressive how not only how strong he is, but how athletic he is. So I would put him in the football home run derby. Number two, I would take Patrick Mahomes, of course, who is such a great athlete. I've seen him shoot a basketball. I've seen him throw a baseball. His dad played in the big leagues. I've seen him swing a bat. I've seen him swing a golf club. I think I would put him in the home run derby for the football players, and I think he would do really well. My third guy is Myles Garrett, who I saw jump off a box once, one of those box jumps. He is a freakish athlete. As you can see, he can dunk easily, no surprise there. So I'll take a really big, strong, fast guy who can move, and I'll put him in the home run derby. But my warning is DK Metcalf is as big and as strong and as fast as the guys I've ever seen, and he couldn't make contact last night at the celebrity softball game.
Yeah, and there it was, putting him on blast. I love it. Here's the thing. When you just listed out those guys, it's making me wish we could have a home run derby for football players. But let's go on the flip side. Give me a guy, Timmy, who's in Major League Baseball that you think could play football also.
Well, I will take Aaron Judge first because he's the biggest guy, position player, ever to play in the big leagues. He's 6'7". He's 282 pounds. He runs like a deer. He's very agile. He's a great athlete. He played basketball in high school, and he played football in high school. So he knows. He could have chosen any of those three sports, and he took baseball. But he could play, I'm guessing, tight end in the NFL. But he would need a lot of time to learn how to play that position in the NFL.
I'm not here to tell you these guys are such great athletes. They could just walk in and start for the Patriots. I'm saying this guy has physical skills that might someday allow him to play in the NFL.
I'm with that. I can see it. Tim, I got to ask, I think is the most exciting player in baseball right now. I'm talking, of course, about Shohei Ohtani hitting tonight and then the starting pitcher for the American League, obviously doing things in the sport that have never been done. From a football perspective, just for our viewers, what would be the equivalent of what Shohei Ohtani is doing in the NFL?
Well, you would have to play middle linebacker and quarterback at the same time to do what Shohei Ohtani's doing. And I'm just not sure that Damian Woody is going to rush for 1,000 yards and tackle people on the other side of the ball. Sorry, this guy is a gazelle. He's one of the fastest players in the league. He could play wide receiver in the NFL with a whole lot of teaching and a whole lot of tutelage. But great hands, great speed, great agility, and he's 6'5".
Hey, you know who can also do both? It's Tim Kirkjian, because here you are getting ready for the Home Run Derby, and you're joining us on NFL Live, breaking down football as well as baseball. Timmy, we thank you so much, and we'll, of course, be tuned in tonight to see you guys on ESPN for the Home Run Derby airing right there on ESPN. Thanks to Tim Kirkjian.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Jalen Ramsey is definitely my favorite matchup.
That's one of my favorite matchups
because he feels like he's the best. Physical guy, his own hands crazy strong.
He competes.
Easily top five receiver in the league. We'll throw something out there in the media that we know for a fact the other one will see.
He was talking about how a wide receiver was better than me.
He probably caught a pass or something. He got up and he said,
"You know, I'm the best receiver you ever went against. Don't disrespect me like that. We're going 2-0 this year, Jay."
Man, that respect on and off the field never gets old. Jalen Ramsey and DeAndre Hopkins have played in the same division throughout their careers. Ramsey has come out on top in most of those matchups. Look at this. He's limited Hopkins to 45 yards per game and 3 touchdowns in 9 games. The All-Pro corner talked about his 3 toughest covers. Listen to this.
So D-Hop, he always going to, you know, be at the top of my list usually. To be honest, personally, off of people I done play, I got Odell. When Odell healthy and he on his, he tough.
Mm-hmm.
He tough for real. He just fast, twitchy,
mm-hmm.
run good routes, got great hands.
Mm-hmm.
I like his game. And then it's tough. I probably got Julio. Julio can do it all. He's fast.
He's big.
Run good routes, catch. Run after the catch.
Mm-hmm.
He do it all. When Julio healthy, he a dog. He a dog for sure.
So Jalen Ramsey, just to recap, says DeAndre Hopkins, OBJ, and Julio, the 3 most difficult receivers for him to cover. Mina, we'll get to the snubs in a little bit, but are you surprised that Beckham is still on that list? Even though he qualified, it's when he's healthy.
Yeah, you know, Laura, I'm not surprised, but I can see how it would come out of the blue for some people, because at this point, I actually think Odell isn't thought of as being in that elite group. He's kind of being slept on at the moment after having all of those injuries. And the reason why Jalen included him is because when Odell was healthy, he was consistently a nightmare for cornerbacks. And it wasn't just one season. I mean, we're talking about a guy who set the NFL record for the most catches ever through a player's first 50 games. He was good in a way that I think suggests he can return to form regardless of coming back from an injury. His route running, which Jalen alluded to, his awareness of leverage, body positioning, and then, of course, the hands. He was a total package. And it's just not size. He's not even a bigger dude or just speed. He was a true number one wide receiver, and I think he does belong in that conversation. I look forward to him sort of reasserting his place there.
You know, like, just listening to Jalen Ramsey, the reason that it makes sense, he used the word twitchy. Mm. And I think that's important when you're talking about a taller cornerback. Yeah. Odell Beckham Jr. is a very twitchy guy, and twitchy wide receivers usually give taller cornerbacks problems. So when Odell Beckham Jr. is right, there's not many guys that can do the things that Odell Beckham Jr. Is capable of doing. And I know me personally, I'm looking forward to Odell going out there this year and kind of, you know, reestablishing himself as one of the elite wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, I covered him when he was a rookie with the Giants. I mean, the stuff we just saw him do in practice was so ridiculous. Like, you'd go to practice, like, excited to watch whatever he was going to do that day. Mm. And I remember Darren Woodson, when he used to work for us, he told me once he was at the Pro Bowl and Odell was playing, and he said that the old saying when you're a defensive back is watch the hips, because the eyes lie, the hips don't lie. He said he had guys coming back to the sideline that were trying to cover Odell saying, the hips lie. Like, his hips actually do lie. The way he moves, they couldn't keep up with it. So, yeah, I think it would be pretty cool for the game if he got back to close to what he was.
I just want to make note that we started the show with David Bakhtiari chugging beer, and now we've gotten a Shakira reference in the show, so that means we're really off to a great start here today. You know, one thing I wonder, Mina, is if OBJ will maintain that twitchiness despite dealing with the injuries. You would think that he would. All reports coming out of Browns camp are that he is even better than before. But there's somebody, or maybe a couple of guys, that were left off of Jalen Ramsey's list of toughest to cover. Anybody stick out to you from the wide receiver standpoint?
Well, a guy who comes to mind is a guy who scored on Jalen Ramsey, or at least that Rams defense, in the playoffs, and that's Davante Adams, who I believe is the best wide receiver in the NFL right now, in the same way that I believe Jalen Ramsey is the best cornerback in the NFL. And the word, if twitchiness is the word we're going to use to explain Odell Beckham Jr.'s excellence, the word for Davante Adams is release. I mean, you're seeing it, well, not so much there, but he has this little bunny hop thing he does at the line that is just devastating for DBs. It's impossible to sort of anticipate where he's going to go, and it's a big part of the reason why he was so special last season with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you know, Graz, I feel like he still, Davante Adams, doesn't get enough respect. And maybe that's just my own opinion, but you talk to all these guys in the league. Are corners talking about Davante Adams that way?
Yeah, again, unscientific. But when I talk to cornerbacks and ask them that question, who's the toughest guy you cover, I get the answer Davante Adams a lot. He is a popular answer among cornerbacks currently playing in the NFL, and they use that word release. They say his releases are so tough. I think I asked a couple of his coaches about it once. They said it comes from guys that have basketball backgrounds are a little bit like that sometimes. But the corners do not enjoy that because it's, he can beat you right away, almost right before the play starts. And I think that's something they find difficult to deal with.
Yeah, that may not be exactly scientific, but this is. Davante Adams has 58 touchdown catches in the last five seasons. That's 11 more than the next closest player, which is Tyreek Hill. Let's talk about the Seahawks. They have to deal with Jalen Ramsey twice a year. And recently, Bobby Wagner talked about the Russell Wilson drama earlier this offseason. He said, I think, honestly, it's part of how the league works. If you lose and don't go to the big game, they always try to figure out what went wrong, what happened. Bobby Wagner went on to say, I definitely feel like it was a little overblown, but it's all water under the bridge now. So the reality is, D. Wood, and you've been in these locker rooms, they're all going to have to get back in the locker room together, and they're all going to have to look at each other in the eye as men. You think the drama is actually over in Seattle?
No, I just think it's on pause right now, and I think for a couple reasons. One, you got to look within the division. You're talking about the NFC West. That's the toughest division in football. We're talking about the Los Angeles Rams, who are, with Matthew Stafford on board, it's probably a Super Bowl contender. The San Francisco 49ers getting all those injured guys back, they're going to be another team that's going to be a Super Bowl contender. And Arizona Cardinals has gotten better as well. So I think that's one aspect. But another aspect is they got a new play caller, Shane Waldron, first-time play caller. Russ wants to cook, okay? Russ wants to cook. We don't know how he's going to call games. I got questions about the Seattle Seahawks offensive line. If Russ is not able to cook this year, guess what? We're going to be revisiting this conversation again next offseason.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a great point about Shane Waldron because, you know, despite being tied to Sean McVay, as is, of course, the blessing that seems to follow coaches throughout the NFL, he didn't call plays in Los Angeles. And we can assume that the offense is going to have some resemblance to the McVay Shanahan offense, and which is not what Seattle has historically done. A little bit more play action, perhaps integration of the run and pass game, but we won't know until we see it. I do know that Russell Wilson has articulated in the past that he would like his offense to be have some more similarity to those offenses that he saw within the same division. And I imagine that Waldron coming on was a decision made in part to satisfy that desire on part of the quarterback, who is going to be in Seattle at least for one more season.
Right, at least one more, Mina. And I agree with Damian Woody's take that this comes up again next offseason. But my understanding is that Russell Wilson's happy with the extent to which the front office involved him in some decisions, including Shane Waldron, and kept him abreast of what they were doing this offseason. So I think for now it's legitimately put to bed, even if it's only napping.
Well, it probably is taking a small nap. And the reality is these players are going to continue to want to take control of their futures. And I think that storyline isn't going anywhere. Let's get to some more news. Falcons linebacker Barkevious Mingo was released from the team on Saturday following an arrest on Thursday for a second-degree felony charge of indecency with a child, sexual conduct. Mingo was released on $25,000 bond Friday. An arrest warrant obtained by ESPN details the accusation by a then 13-year-old boy who says Mingo pulled at his underwear and touched him inappropriately in July 2019. The boy says he and a friend were staying at a hotel with Mingo after a trip to an amusement park. Mingo's attorney, Chris Lewis, says the Falcons rushed to judgment in terminating the linebacker's contract before gathering all the facts of his case, and said in a statement given to Adam Schefter that the accusation against Mr. Mingo is a lie. Barkevious knows it, and so does his accuser.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
He's best when the lights are on.
You feel it the moment you step in the stadium.
Nothing emulates Patrick Mahomes more than the word Showtime.
Take advantage of the day.
What else do we need to know about Showtime Mahomes?
It came from my dad when I was young, and I'd always try to slide around and make diving catches, and so they started calling me Showtime.
The kid is an electrifying player.
Oh, how did he pull that off? Showtime.
A magician never reveals his tricks.
I mean, you know that nickname's legit when your own dad gave it to you and it sticks around for this long. The Chiefs QB on the losing end, though, of Super Bowl 55 in February. The Chiefs only scored 9 points in that game. And Tyreek Hill said they're embarrassed after that loss to the Buccaneers. Listen to this.
I've been grinding my tail off, man, ever since that loss. You know what I'm saying? Like, I take losing, like, kind of hard. You know, so, I mean, me being me, man, and I know my teammates being my teammates, Pat, Kelsey, you know, and the rest of the guys, Tyron, Chris, you know, they want to get back to that stage, you know. So I know they grinding just as hard as I am, you know, because, you know, like, I feel like we was kind of embarrassed, you know, like, on national TV during the biggest game, you know, in the last game of the year. So, I mean, we definitely don't want to go down that drought again, you know. So we'll be back, you know.
We've heard a similar sentiment actually on this show from Travis Kelce, but it's hard to get back to the Super Bowl at all. It's hard to get back there three straight times. Hasn't happened often. Only three teams, you see them there in NFL history, have played in three consecutive Super Bowls. The 1970s Dolphins, 1990s Bills, and the Patriots from 2016 to 2018. And Mina, Kansas City has played more games than any team over the last three seasons. When you think about just the wear and tear on their bodies and how this whole thing would factor into the bigger picture, how long do you really think the Super Bowl window is open?
I think that the Chiefs window stays open as long as Patrick Mahomes keeps playing like he does, and I will not pick against them. That said, it does get harder. And the reason why it's so hard for teams to consistently repeat, even when they do have star quarterbacks from year to year, is, you alluded to, Laura, health and money. It's a hard-capped league. And as teams have success and they draft well, then have to pay those players that they drafted well and so forth, and then suddenly you have to watch players walk away. You know, I was thinking about Seattle, a team with a excellent young quarterback in Russell Wilson and a very good young defense, and people asked, why didn't they have a dynasty? And there's a number of reasons for that. Injuries played a huge role in it, but one reason I think that's underappreciated with Seattle is how poorly they drafted for several years. So when we look to Kansas City and we ask the question, well, what is it going to take to keep them coming back and back? I do think the draft is important. They need to hit on some of those picks. It looks like they got a star in L'Jarius Sneed, the corner they got in the fourth round last year. Juan Thornhill has flashed at times. But you need players like the linebackers they take in, Nick Bolton this year, the tackle, Lucas Snang. Those players need to hit as well, because you reach a certain point where if you have a star-studded, top-heavy roster, you need cheaper players to play well too.
And listen, when you're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, make no mistake about it, you know that they are building something special when other teams, particularly in the AFC, are trying to build things to get ready for Kansas City. You see, like, the Tennessee Titans. They go trade for Julio Jones, and other teams making moves because they know at the end of the day, all roads lead to Kansas City. At some point in the playoffs, they're going to have to face Kansas City, and they're going to have to make sure that they have the right personnel to match up with the Kansas City Chiefs. And we know this offseason, we saw the Kansas City Chiefs address their one issue, the offensive line.
Yep.
Now, what are the other teams going to do to match up what the Kansas City Chiefs are going to bring to the table?
You know, and they were able to address that offensive line with money they spent in free agency. And I think this speaks to Mina's point and the way the Chiefs are trying to combat it. They've structured some of their big contracts in ways that are very helpful to them. If you look at the way Patrick Mahomes' contract is structured, it's going to allow them to continue going in there and getting more money, more cap space in the coming years. So if they have to do something like rebuild their entire offensive line in one offseason, they're going to be able to afford to do it. They got a very good deal on Tyreek Hill relative to his production as well. So those are tricks that front offices can do to help, even if they are missing on some draft picks, because I mean, it's harder to draft when you're picking 31, 32 than it is when you're picking one or two.
Yeah.
So much of the conversation a lot of times around the window has to do with quarterbacks on rookie contracts, right? But if you can get a quarterback in the realm of Patrick Mahomes and get him to agree to a deal that will allow you to have some flexibility, that also kind of works, right? It just has to do with Patrick Mahomes being Mahomes. Time for one more thing before we go. You guys are not going to believe this. This is insane. Bucks tackle Tristan Wirfs. Look at him. So he's going to sit down, right? And you're thinking, oh, he's taking a little rest. You know, he's like tired from his workout. Oh, but no. In 3, 2, 1, like, how? He did a box jump.
That's how I get out of this chair after the show every time. So I don't know what the big deal is. That's exactly what I do. You jump right up to the next floor of my house. So, yeah.
D Wood.
You know, I try to tell everybody that offensive linemen are athletes too. We always talk about, you know, the wide receivers and everybody else, but look at that dog right there. Look at that man. That man got a weighted vest on and jumping up there. Man, give us some love, please.
Okay, but Damian, some offensive linemen are better athletes than others, and that right there is a super athlete. Like, that is crazy what he just did.
Okay, one more video for you before we let you go. How about Kevin Zeitler? He just looks like he's practicing, you know, his pass sets. But then there's this moment where his wife turns the camera, and she's actually in labor, and that's happening. I love her. I love him. I think that's amazing, by the way. It's a long time sometimes being in labor. You got to make your time useful.
Got to do something.
Good stuff right there. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
By the way, I did that. I did that, too.
You